This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I am Barry Rosenfeld.
Yeah, you are. Welcome. It is Thursday. It actually feels like this week has gone by kind of quickly, which I am incredibly grateful for. Before we get into our show, if you have not subscribed to the new Mention It All newsletter, go ahead, take a second, go do that now. Betches.co/Bravo newsletter. We are bringing you the best Bravo news, Bravo tea, all of it every week. Plus, my personal favorite section of the newsletter to write, because I write it, by the way, is every week I give you a suggestion of an old Bravo show, episode, season to go back and rewatch. And usually it's like a fun theme. So, you know, if you're always just looking for some weekend plans and you don't feel like actually being social, check out the Mention It All newsletter.
Always choose Bravo over being
social. Betches.co/Bravo newsletter. Check it out. Barry, we have so much to talk about today. Just truly.
We really do. We're talking about Jersey and Dallas today. And also, currently, they are filming the Jersey reunion right this second.
Yeah, we got there's like literally so much Housewives news. We got the the promo for the Atlanta reunion came out this morning as well. Lots of Bolo drama. It looks like Drew's saying a prayer. Drew's crying. There's a lot going on. I just want to throw out there, we interviewed yesterday Lala Kent. Her book comes out in a few weeks. It was a great interview. Both in the book and in the interview, she really mentions it all about Vanderpump Rules, about Jen Shah. So stay tuned for that interview. It's going to be out in a few weeks. And I was impressed by how much she mentioned.
I was going to say, I would use that word too. I was impressed. She was a doll. She was really great to talk to. And I would also suggest reading her book, get her book when it's available and read it. It was very, like we said, an easy read. Like it captures you, you know, it's not a novel. It's not a novel, but
I'm glad it's not a novel.
Not in Bravo news, but we got an alert this morning that J-Lo and A-Rod are officially done.
Bravo adjacent ish. Madison is like waiting by the phone this morning.
Oh, Lord.
Season, whatever next season is of Southern Charm, we're going to see A-Rod joining the cast.
Oh, my God. Imagine, like, that would be so funny, but no.
So the actual Bravo news since we last recorded, we got not one, but two trailers for brand new seasons. We got Beverly Hills on Monday, and it's premiering May 19th. It's on Wednesday nights this season. And I have to say, this season, you know, they've underwhelmed us before, and I'm wary of it happening again, but this trailer is fucking explosive.
I agree. And I have to say that I always have this fear when trailers come out where, you know, they show all the good parts in the trailer, mm-hmm. but I have heard that is quite the opposite for Beverly Hills, and that this season there are so much more that we didn't see in the trailer, which I am grateful for. That is what everyone, we said what we're grateful for today. That is what I'm grateful for.
I'm super excited just from the tidbits we see in the trailer. Sutton is a full-time housewife, and she's bringing it. She's digging into all this Erica stuff. I don't think it's in the full trailer, but they showed a promo during New Jersey last night, and she uses the word Ponzi scheme, which I am just like, yes, mention it all.
I just feel like this, it's going to be, I love the cast shakeup that is coming, but I think that it's going to be, because we have to, you know, shout out my girl, Kathy.
Kathy looks like she's bringing it. I love seeing that Sutton and Crystal have their little drama right off the bat. The ugly leather pants comment is already, you know, legendary. Sutton, I'm excited to see Crystal. Sutton, it looks like from the trailer that there's just like no possible way they couldn't have given her a diamond, you know?
Sutton, yeah, I agree. But you know what? In this world that we're living in, people are so mean that what Sutton says to Crystal is like, good. If that is the insult you use, good.
Right. Like, that is like the full, like, high drama housewifery that we don't, I feel like we don't get enough of, because people are so focused on like coming up with the best shade. And it's like, no, I want to see Sutton like waving her arms, yelling about Crystal's leather pants. In other news, we have also the Family Karma season 2 trailer. It's premiering the first week of June. I'm super excited. I really loved the first season, and I'm glad they're back. We knew they were coming back, but I'm glad that we have, you know, the full details now. And this show just looks like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, when we interviewed Anisha long time ago, you guys go listen to that interview. She was talking about filming season 2. Like, so that felt, I think it literally was almost a year ago. I'm not even kidding. But
babe, that was in the fall. That was like 6 months ago, maybe. That was okay, like November. But like,
the months in quarantine are longer than like out of quarantine. So it was a long time ago, but they were, she's been living her best life, and it's so funny to like see it actually on TV right now. So I'm pumped for that.
I agree.
It is a breath of fresh air, that show.
They just like, they understand the assignment, but it's not too like intense. I love seeing their parents and grandparents. The family dynamic is a lot of fun. Speaking of family dynamics, let's get into Real Housewives of New Jersey. We had some heavy family dynamics with Jennifer and her parents this week. We heard about this toward the beginning of the season, and then kind of other stuff has taken precedence in the last few episodes. But Jennifer's parents, I have to say, I feel like Bill says later in the episode that if they were from a different culture, you know, it'd be different. Maybe they'd be divorced by now. I kind of feel like they need to not be together.
I mean, I feel like you're not the only one that feels that way. But at the same time, can I just say Jennifer's dad is one of the cutest little men I've ever seen in my life. He's just minding his own business, watching his iPad. Leave the man alone. But you know what? Get it. It's hard to understand when, you know, they are in another culture. So it is different from like what I would do. You know what I mean? So it seems though, because they're older, this has been going on for so long that it's something we'll truly never understand in general. Like, there's just so much backstory and history from their relationship. To me, on the outside, it looks just like an old couple fighting, like a mom and dad fighting, not getting along. But her mother went in and was like, wishes they never got married. And imagine how deep that is, that she was 18. I don't know how old she is right now, but how long she's brought that with her.
To say they've been together for 40 something years and there's not a single day that she's been happy. It's like, obviously, like, we don't know all the backstory. We only met these people a couple years ago on our TV screens. So, you know, we're not in a position to kind of take a side or to say who's, you know, being truthful or who's being dramatic or any of that. But it's like, there is clearly so much like pain and resentment in this situation. And it's tough to see Jennifer truly be in the middle of it, because obviously she loves both of her parents, but she does talk about, you know, how she didn't have that much of a relationship with her dad when she was growing up, because he just like was really busy, wasn't around that much. And it's hard watching someone who is normally so self-assured and like seems to be so kind of in charge of her life, be in the situation with her parents where she is kind of at a loss for what to do.
Yeah. Jennifer is definitely that housewife where I prefer to see scenes of her with her family so much more than with the other ladies. Like I really do.
It's wild, the difference. Like when she's with her parents versus when she's talking to Margaret, it's like a switch flips and there's no going back.
But the thing is that when Jennifer was like in her massive kitchen, like on like talking to both of her parents, like talking across like a countertop that's bigger than my apartment. But she was like trying to explain, her dad's like, I didn't abuse her. And Jennifer's like, no, abuse doesn't just mean like physical, you know, like she's yeah. talking about like mental, emotional abuse, et cetera. But Jennifer, as much as she said she didn't have a relationship with her dad, she's the relationship she did wasn't bad. She kept trying to tell her mom. She's like, I didn't have a right. bad relationship with dad. But last night on Watch What Happens Live, Melissa was kind of talking shit about Jen. And she was like, said one thing. I don't remember truly because I wasn't listening. But then she was like, Jennifer, you know, she kind of like, she throws her mother under the bus. And I was like, does she? Like, I don't. Maybe I didn't see that part. I don't know. I feel like she treats her parents kind of evenly and like doesn't do that. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's just, it's super hard when you have parents that don't see eye to eye. I mean, my parents are divorced. Thankfully, I never really had to deal with a situation quite like the one that Jen is in.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are inevitably just times, and I'm sure most people can relate to this in some way, where it's like, I don't want to be in the middle of this, but it's very hard to actually be like 100% neutral. And even if you see both sides, or if you go back and forth, that one parent is going to feel like you're, you know, choosing the other side. Yeah. And I think Jen is definitely in the midst of that. And especially I can see it being hard if she feels like her siblings kind of have already chosen a side, that she's like, now I can't choose a side because I'm the last one.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention.
Okay, speaking of Jennifer, though, this video on Instagram Live when she's talking about needing a live-in housekeeper, but it's a housekeeper, but she's going to call it a nanny because she thinks a housekeeper is degrading, but it's not really a nanny. It's a housekeeper. Margaret thinks this video is super tone deaf.
Oh, that's what it was that Melissa, that, thank you. That is the other thing Melissa said. Melissa said everything Jennifer says is yes. tone deaf.
Right. I have to agree with Margaret that the video is like a little bit cringe, because the thing is, Jennifer is a woman of means. She has money, clearly. We all know that. It's not like a secret. She wears Chanel everything all the time. But it's like, there are ways to find a nanny, housekeeper, whatever help you need that are not going on Instagram Live to your like 300,000 followers in the middle of a pandemic.
And I also don't think the nanny / housekeepers are searching for jobs on
if you're looking for somebody legit and trustworthy to be living in your home and taking care of your home, Instagram Live on a public platform like that is probably not the best way to go about that.
Right. And the thing, she was saying it when the women were calling her out, and she was trying to not be offensive. And they were like, no, a housekeeper is a job title. Like, you're not being offensive. Like, it was actually more offensive the way you went around it. You know what I, you know, but I don't.
That's one of those moments where I feel like Jennifer, I mean,
I'm not in a position to like call anyone whatever, but like it feels very new money that it's like, what, like, you'll think? Like, I wouldn't say housekeeper. And everyone is like, no, that's literally what the job is. It's like, it's not like, she's like, no. Like, I'm going to call it a nanny. And it's like, if I applied to a job that was like social media manager and they're like, okay, so you're actually going to be just like responding to customer service emails, but we thought that sounded bad, so we said social media manager. Like, no, I want the job I got hired for.
Good luck to her. I feel like she also has other like ways she can find one. Like, I don't know, anyone she knows probably has a housekeeper nanny who knows someone else.
There are like websites for that. I don't know what they are, but yeah, you know,
it's called Instagram.
Okay, so we get in this episode one of my favorite housewives tropes, which is a psychic party, of course.
Gina Marie.
Teresa has Gina Marie over to the house. She's cleaning up and Gia's like, I love when she's emptying the dishwasher and Gia's like, why are you freaking out? Like, they're not going to look at your spoons.
Mom, can you not right now? I love when Gia gets mad.
She's in like Zoom class in the kitchen table. I love it. Gina Marie, I have to say, is either a really talented psychic medium or she had a really great meeting with the producers before her time on camera.
Yeah, like, okay, so the thing is she could have gotten like one off a little bit, you know? Like, she is either so good now that she's going to turn into like, what's his name? Tyler the medium or...
Yeah, like LA...
Whatever. Yeah. She's going to turn into like one of those now or Teresa
Caputo, the Long Island medium.
Her line is going to be like out the door to be read if this is like true. But I was impressed. I really was. I was like, oh my God. But I've always thought that about mediums, like, especially if these are famous people, like, do you know about them? Did you Google them? I feel like mediums always have that where they're like, yeah, people probably always think that, you know, but they were kind of like, Evan was like, well, every Jewish grandmother's name is Esther. Esther. I was like, that's true.
My biggest takeaway from this psychic medium event. Okay. Not my biggest takeaway. The first thing I want to say is, why was Michelle there? We've not seen or heard about Michelle since Teresa had her pool party, which was like 4 weeks ago. And then all of a sudden it's like this small group event. And it's like, obviously Michelle's coming. And it's like, oh, this was back when she still thought she was going to be like a proper housewife or friend of.
But the thing is, the people watching like us expect an explanation. Isn't that so? We always do. We're like, wait, why didn't you guys tell us why Michelle was there or that she was going to be there?
I was surprised they didn't cut out Michelle's actual reading part. I thought they would just like edit that out, but whatever. Okay, but the actual most interesting thing, I think, from this psychic reading was that Dolores, so she gets a reading about David, basically saying that David is not her soulmate, who she's meant to be with, whatever. And she's kind of like, all right, okay, whatever. And then she gets a reading about her dog and is sobbing and like a mess. And they're all talking about how we never see Dolores cry. Melissa brought it up on Watch What Happens Live. And it's like, Dolores, like, you might need to break up with David.
Yeah, she showed a lot of emotion. Listen, as a dog person, I get it. And I fully understand. Like, I just lost my dog. Like, it's serious. And we even saw how close Dolores and Boo were, you know? So I think also it was the way, I don't know. I kind of understood it because I feel like her and David have made this relationship so friendly-esque now that like she knows it. Like, she knows that Frank's her soulmate. Did I just say that? Yeah. She knows Frank is her soulmate, but like, I don't know. I feel like she was not surprised to hear it, but then she heard sadder news and that affected her. But I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
I do feel like people like to kind of shit on David a lot. And I think that for me watching the show, I feel like for the most part, Dolores is content in her relationship with David. I think there are moments where she's like, why am I not engaged? Or like, why isn't this different? But I think we've gotten to the point where it's been long enough in the situation that she knows exactly what she's getting with David. And if it really bothered her that much, she's not stuck in that relationship. She's not, you know, dependent on him for anything. So I think if she wasn't getting any enjoyment out of it, she would be able to leave, no problem. So I don't feel like uncomfortable about the relationship, because I think Dolores is very clear about what she's getting out of it, you know?
I 100% agree. I think in the beginning, she was very, we even saw right. it. She was like, hello, hello. But now I think she's very content. That's exactly, she has the best of both worlds. She has David, who she's dating. And then she has Frank to hang out with, which I
Frank's
think is
her life
now,
partner.
No joke. I think now like the roles are becoming reversed though. Like, obviously we know her and Frank like don't have sex, but like, I feel like now she just kind of like hangs out with David. I don't know. Maybe this is me envisioning this and hoping that's what happens. I'm not sure. I don't hate David either. I really don't. I think he's great.
He seems like a good guy. Just like not Dolores's like soulmate. Okay. Also have to mention Dolores debuted, I think, a new confessional look last night. This green dress with the puffy sleeves. Stunning. She just looks unbelievable to me. I think she is like one of the prettiest people. She just looks, she's glowing from the inside out. I love Dolores.
Amazing. She literally looks amazing.
Okay. The only other thing I feel like we need to touch on from Jersey is Melissa and Joe go to dinner. They're talking about their little tiff that they got into down the shore.
They went to Rail Steakhouse, which we're very familiar with already. It's like,
yeah, they're sitting in the cella. I feel like Joe and Melissa, I think we talked last week about how their relationship issues are stemming from a real place. Like, I think yeah. the issue does exist, but very quickly it felt like we smoothed over the actual like fight. And it's like, okay, that was a little too easy.
I mean, guys, like, we know that Melissa and Joe are their marriage is fine. Like, they're good. And the thing is, Joe was like, just don't forget me. Like, don't leave me. And Melissa's like, and that part like kind of cringed me a little, because she was like, I'm not leaving.
She's
you. Like you're
she's
right
like,
here.
It's like when, that moment where it's like you're with your friend or your partner or whoever, and they're like kind of being annoying for attention, and then it gets to a point where it's like, can you shut the fuck up? Like, I'm not forgetting you. Like,
yeah, like you guys are very good.
I get why they have those moments every once in a while, but it's a little bit like, don't pretend that this is some giant fight when it's just like Joe being in his feelings a little bit.
Yeah, but also I can't get over, I still think about this all the time, because I know we just said Dolores looks good, but I said this last night, this is the bet. This cast looks absolutely effing incredible. Like, I can't get over it. Melissa has a 15-year-old. Antonia's 15. Like, what? Melissa?
She's going to have the talk. They're going to have the talk.
No, Melissa's aging backwards, literally.
I actually really appreciated Melissa's philosophy about having kind of the talk with
Antonia.
I was about to say Adriana.
You leaned in and like whispered. You're like, whoa.
I was about to say Adriana, and I was like, that's not right. You know, Joe has always been like, she's not going on one date until she's 25. And I like that Melissa seems to be really in a realistic place where it's like, I'm gonna have this talk with her, that it's like, when you are ready, I'm not saying you should be ready now, like, this is what you need to know. And I think it can be such a mindset if you're brought up in kind of like a conservative family, or like, you know, cultural differences, whatever, that it's like, we don't talk about sex, like, not until you're married, whatever. And I love seeing that Melissa has a more, I think, you know, just like a better approach to that. And I think that's, she's like setting Antonia up for success rather than, you know, like not giving her any of the tools she needs to succeed as an adult.
It's, I mean, we see that next episode and I'm like, Antonia's always been very shy on this show. Yeah. So like next week she like runs into the dressing room and like slams the door and she's like, why do you have to talk about my life? We have to say one thing as a Jew. We watched Rosh Hashanah at Jackie's house last night. It was so nice. The Jewish New Year. I love seeing the Goldschneiders. Like, such a lovely time. Okay. That
was
great.
That was nice. I do love seeing Jackie's family.
Because we see Jackie Uncle Eric.
Uncle Eric. Yeah. great time. Have a sweet new year.
Thank you so much. Well, but looping, connecting though, it's funny because we know Jackie's parents are married, but they don't live together. So when we were talking about Jennifer's, it's just funny how different relationships can be.
To each their own.
Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week. Grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite. Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
On Arts Educators Save the World, we talk with artists and their mentors to discuss the transformative work that happens in arts education. We began with Lin-Manuel Miranda and his elementary school music teacher, and mine, Barbara Ames.
The direct education we got from Barbara, it was life-changing.
And since then, we've spoken with Cecily Strong, Josh Radner, Annalie Ashford, Robert Lopez, and so many others, each with their mentors. Join us again as we begin season 2 of Arts Educators Save the World, available everywhere.
Okay, let's pivot to Dallas for a little bit. So we're on the trip to Broken Bow still. It's the second night and they're doing redneck relay and Tiffany's concerned that redneck is an offensive term. And Stephanie's like, I'm a redneck. It's okay. Which
yeah, nice approach though, because she like wanted to make sure. But right. I guess if you're just like anything, if you're saying it in a bad, you know, if you're like calling so, oh, you like right. dumb redneck, you know, like that's mean. But
it gave Stephanie- it was very reminiscent to me of when Aviva called Ramona and Sonia white trash, and they were like, maybe we are white trash. What's so bad about that?
I mean, yes, it's one thing to embrace the insult, but yeah, there are certain things. Just don't say anything that you're not comfortable with because you probably shouldn't.
So Stephanie brings back this poor, kind older man, Charles, the Bigfoot expert. And she basically brings him back not only to facilitate the redneck relay, which he is somehow forced into doing, but also so Carrie Brittingham can apologize to him. And Carrie's apology is...
A
I would say worse,
housewife apology.
Worse than Teresa's apology to Evan at the Jersey Shore.
Well, yes. I mean, yeah, there's nothing really
Teresa,
else to describe
Teresa
it.
Teresa didn't know what to say to Evan. Carrie said everything that she shouldn't have said to Charles.
She did one of those typical, like, first of all, she started it out with saying, I'm sorry I talked about your pee-pee.
Really, that wasn't the main issue.
Are you serious? Have you
I'm sorry I talked about your pee-pee, but I really care about animals. So when people don't care about animals, even though I eat meat, it makes me mad. And also you wouldn't give me the machete, so I was mad about that.
The sword.
So I'm sorry I said something that made you upset because that wasn't my intention. And it's like,
yeah.
Okay, so you what? Like, I
she
don't
did
understand.
The typical, I'm sorry you feel that way. You know, like,
I'm sorry you feel that way, but also I only said that because you made me feel mad. And it's like, he didn't do anything to you.
It was very awkward. Like, even Tiffany in the corner was like, this is the worst fucking apology I've ever heard in my life. It was so awkward.
I love when an apology is framed as like, I'm sorry I did these things because of these things you did. So... I'm sorry. Now, do you have something to say to me? And credit to Charles, the Bigfoot expert. He knows exactly, you know, how to handle this situation, how to diffuse the situation. And he apologizes to Carrie, which is so unnecessary. But honestly, I'm glad he did, because we didn't have to hear 15 more minutes of Carrie like berating him.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's just a gentleman, to be honest. And I think that's why he apologized. I don't think he was like, please, like, take me right. as your friend. But Stephanie was like, Charles, I cannot believe he just apologized. Like, I cannot believe he just did that. But we need to talk about these relay, because who packed all, where was all of this stuff? I need to know where the three toilet bowl seats were all of the like shaving cream cans, where was all of this? Did they
swing your ding-a-ling pantyhose balls?
Those low testicles were something, but I have to say this was very fun. It looked very fun. And
it did look fun. it looked fun until a point. So then we get Brandy and Stephanie do their like Bigfoot costume prank, which I saw coming from a mile away was, you know, pretty low hanging fruit. But then the pranks continue through the night, because Deandra and Tiffany have these stink bombs that they bought on the way, which they thought would be super fun. So they release one in Carrie's room, and Carrie is like, I guess she really doesn't like fart smells. I like join the club. Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
Like, have you ever met someone? I was like, oh my God, that smells so good. I love farts.
So her response to that is to grab a giant like tub of salsa from the kitchen and splatter this salsa all over the beds. I was like so taken aback watching this, because it's just like, what are you doing? Like, who are you? What, like, what? It was wild to me. And it's, I thought everybody's reactions were extremely fair, because not only was she trashing their beds, it was in the middle of the night. Like, they wanted to go to sleep.
I would have dumped the salsa. I would have turned around and dumped the salsa back on her head if she did that to my bed, because here's the thing. It's all fun and games. Like, it is. Pranks are fun, except when, once again, Carrie crosses the line. Like, you just, like, it's not funny when you do that. Like, you were they weren't in someone's home. They were in like an Airbnb or hotel. Like, you're like vandalizing at that point. Like, that right. stains and that ruins. Like, you just ruin, other people stay there. Like, that's crazy. And also, like, what you did wasn't like, in what way did that get them back for doing like a fart stink bomb? Like, you just went a just little too far.
Carrie is so off. She just like is off-putting to me. Like, I feel like every situation she's in, I just am like, what are you doing? It's a little bit like Kelly Ben Simone, actually, reminds me a little bit. Like, her behavior on Scary Island, I feel like it's not the same situation, but it's a little bit like, are you like good to be here right now? Like, is this okay for you?
And then she like stayed up all night into the laundry. Girl, I don't feel bad for you. Good. Well, right. Who else was going to do it? You needed to do that.
Yeah, like, what? The producers were going to stay after you left and clean the whole house? No, that's not their job.
But also, I have to say that the house, I remember last week you asked me about it, and I was like, I didn't really see it, like, whatever. But this episode, I really got like a glimpse of the entire house, and it is kind of cool. It's very campy. It's very cool. I loved the jacuzzi that was like indoor, outdoor. So like, just adding it to my list of places I might stay in Texas.
I didn't love Brandy getting into the jacuzzi in the full Bigfoot costume. That really made my skin crawl, but you know, whatever.
She went in to like get clean. And I was like, no, what is wrong with everyone on this cast?
Is just like, they just like smell like ass after getting back from this trip.
Like, oh my God, so gross.
I don't know. Then we get some stuff, you know, Deandra and Tiffany are still dealing with their family stuff. Overall, I feel like this episode was fine. I don't know. I'm kind of like running out of steam on Dallas this year.
Oh no. Well, we just let's talk about the dumplings really quick, because Tiffany's mom came over to make dumplings like for her birthday with the girls. Like, it looked like very fun, and Tiffany finally broke down and cried and kind of like explained to her mom. I feel like she explained to us for a long time before she like said something to her mom. And her mom was like, I am proud of you. Like, don't cry. Like, you're my only daughter. Like, I love you. But I love that moment. But am I the only one that feels this way? Where, and I don't know Tiffany and her relationship. So it's like, you know, what I see on TV is what I get, but I feel like I haven't seen any bad, like, treatment from her mom. Like, her mom has always been so nice. And every time Tiffany says something, they show her mom doing like what she's not explaining. And I'm like, I feel like her mom's really sweet and nice.
I think you're kind of right. I think for Tiffany, it's that there's so many years of this kind of built up feelings that she is in her head about a lot of it. But also, I think Tiffany's mom is probably kind of on her best behavior.
Totally.
You can't like discount the fact that they're on camera. Also, I think with a lot of it, it's like these little subconscious things that her mom probably doesn't even realize she's doing. Like when she says she's going to come over for dinner, and then it's like, actually, like, I think I'm just going to go now. It's like, even if she's not saying, Tiffany, you're disappointing me, I don't want to stay here any longer, it's like, you could have just stayed for dinner.
Yeah, and I think that's
what Tiffany kind of is craving, is like that her mom will just like pick up on these things herself. Whereas I think her mom, it's just, she sees things in a different way. So even if she's not being like, Tiffany, fuck this, like, I'm leaving,
Tiffany was like, you can't stay and have two dumplings,
right? For 15 minutes. Okay, let's get into our grab the skinny pop moments of the day. As we know, endless entertainment calls for endless popcorn. Luckily, every kernel of skinny pop is so light, crunchy, and delicious that we eat it by the handful and even the bagful. My grab the skinny pop moment this week definitely would have to be that Beverly Hills trailer when Dorit said the phrase orphans and widows. I was immediately just sucked in. I thought they put together a great trailer. It made me really excited for the season. And of course, we'll be mentioning it all about the season in a little over a month. So I'm very excited. Barry, what about you?
My grab the skinny pop moment is funny. Again, this week, it was when the ladies of Dallas were doing their redneck relay and Cam just went full throttle,
yes,
thought she finished, and went head first diving across the mat full of soap and whipped cream and whatever else they put on there.
Fully did not listen to the rules, saw the whipped cream and thought she was supposed to dive in it.
And that tarp was just for the tug of war, and it was supposed to be the losers falling
out.
But you know what? We love seeing that side of Cam where she just like is not her normal like Barbie self, you know, and like having fun and whatever. But yeah, I needed a mouthful of skinny pop for that. And so that's today's grab the skinny pop moment. You can grab skinny pop yourself at retailers nationwide or go to the shop now page on skinnypop.com.
What a great week. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow. The week's not over. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches, and just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.